Tonight's episode is proudly sponsored by Play Adventure Parks. With locations in Avon and Columbus, Play offers over 25,000 square feet of activities, inclusive of ninja and obstacle courses, parkour, a zip line, the leap of faith, climbing walls, and most importantly, a full bar and kitchen. Daily admission is $25, and that includes unlimited play. And they also offer event packages and memberships. Be sure to check them out in person and go ahead and hit the follow button on Twitter. It's at PlayCLE216 and at PlayCBus614. We've got an event coming up with them, Meredith, at the end of this month. We are now in June.
So excited.
We will be announcing more about what that's going to entail, but they are graciously hosting That's What Bea Said crew at the Play Cleveland 216 location in Avon. And if you listen to our podcast episode last week, they announced that there's going to be a field goal kicking competition. So you guys gonna be ready to challenge us?
I know. Well, I cannot kick a field goal. So if that's what people are challenging me to, you're most likely going to win.
So you're gonna be the ninja expert. Is that right?
I want to do heights because I have no fear of heights at all. So I always told myself, because I'm a huge fan of The Challenge. It's an MTV reality competition series. And it initially started by taking former cast members from Real World and Road Rules and putting them in competitions together. I still watch it. It's still on. They're pulling people from all different shows that I've never heard of. But they're definitely looking for drama. So if someone is, say, afraid of heights, you know that person is going to be put into a heights challenge. If they're afraid of water, they're going to be meant to swim. So I always thought to myself, and I'm, probably not ever going to be on that show, but I was like, if I'm ever on that show, I'm going to lie and tell them that I'm terrified of all the things that I'm excited about. Like, tell them that I'm terrified of water, but fail to mention that I was on the swim team for like 20 years, from elementary school all the way up through high school. Tell them that I'm terrified of heights. Exclude the fact that I was a high diver in college, or in high school. So I'm like, I'm just going to lie and tell them that I'm terrified of all these things just to make sure I get those competitions.
There you go. That's right. Smart so strategy.
That is my strategy for the reality show that I will never get on.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe the audition is the Play Cleveland event. Yeah. And we can record you and you can have that for submission.
Send in my audition tape and then randomly tell my boss, hey boss, I'm gonna take 3 months off to go film this reality show in Turkey. Bye.
I mean, after that, like, you pretty much could just be a social media influencer for the rest of your life. So it's
exactly
fine.
I'll create content on Twitter.
That's right. All right. Well, we're gonna get into this show this evening. We got a lot of Browns content, speaking of content, for this evening.
How exciting is that? OTAs,
that's right. We have something to talk about finally, kind of, I guess. And then we'll talk about the Indians or the to be determined name, what's happening there. And we will get you on out of here. It's going to be a quick show on this Thursday evening. Obviously, our recording schedule ended us here on this Thursday. So thanks for sticking with us throughout this week, and we'll keep you posted on when we record. We, our personal lives, we have jobs, we have lives, and sometimes we can't be consistent.
How dare us?
How dare us? Yes. One day. All right. So Meredith, I'm going to kick off with, I don't know if this is news. It was news to me. It made my week, honestly, which I don't know if that makes me horribly pathetic or I don't know, but OBJ returned to Instagram. Ooh. And I'm not like a huge Instagram person just in general, but I happened to log on and it was the first video that I saw. And it was a highlight video. And I just have to say, sheesh. He is looking fire in many ways. But he posted a highlight video. It was like a little bit over a 60 second clip. He was cutting, he was running routes, he was catching.
Do you think the Browns have the best looking team in football? Like, are our players more, because I kind of think so.
Ooh.
I think the Browns, And this is such a like random topic, but I was thinking about this because
how dare you? We are a female-led podcast, and this is what they expect from us. Oh my God, you're right.
We are not allowed to be attracted to men. I forgot. I'm sorry. I retract my question and my statement. It never happened.
You're onto something, though. I'm going to just comment on this, even though this is expected of us. We do talk about more things than this. But I think if you include the coaching staff as well,
and 100%. And the general manager.
Yeah. And that like that includes Miss Kelly Brownson.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
She has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. And I birthed a child with very pretty eyes.
Yeah, they are. I mean, this doesn't really determine their production on the field whatsoever. But you see those videos of Miles. You see those videos of OBJ. You saw that picture of Jadeveon Clowney last week. And you're just like, is this the best looking team in football?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, we're biased, obviously. But I don't know. I think, you know, we ranked what the most attractive or the sexiest players a couple weeks ago. Was that last week? I don't even remember like what week we're in.
It was a few weeks
ago. But that was like from the past. But I think we have to do this. I think a comparison episode. And honestly, like I think a lot of men will weigh in as well, oddly enough.
They should. They absolutely should. There's no reason why men can't participate in this conversation. We are open and welcome to all.
Yes. Agreed. But yeah, so going back to OBJ, like I know like you can't put that much weight into this because it obviously is an edited video specifically for Instagram. There's things you can do in an editing room as well where you can speed things up, slow things down. Like there's just so many things that can be done. It's hard to really understand what is the truth, how he actually looks. But I just would say it was nice to see his content back out there and him in a football setting because we have not seen that from OBJ since the fall, right? He had been, even before he went into this dark mode, he had been pretty off the cusp and off the radar just overall, as soon as he got injured last year. So yeah. it was good to see him in that type of headspace and to see him back in his zone, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the social media break was good for him. Like, clearly, he wasn't caught up in what people were or weren't saying about him. He wasn't, caught up in the drama that can happen on social media. So I think the fact that he was off social and now he's back on looking the way he is, I think that's a great sign. I think that's very exciting. So speaking of social media and like editing videos to show the best of the best, did you see the video from Ravens OTAs that someone posted?
Tell me. Oh no, it was bad.
Oh yes. Oh, so no. someone posted a video. I think it was Lamar Jackson passing to Sammy Watkins, and it was like watch out or something like that. Like it had one of those like beware, watch out, this is what you have to expect this upcoming season. But it was a really wobbly pass. Like, the ball was
did they post this like intentionally and it was a really bad pass and they were trying to hype it up?
It wasn't the Ravens Twitter. I think it was either like, I think it was like a fan or someone. Like it definitely wasn't like an official Twitter account of anybody. It was a fan that posted it, but they're like, oh, watch out. And I was like, this wobbly pass.
Is this the same person that posted Big Ben throwing at his?
Maybe. I don't know. I was just like, I'm sure Lamar Jackson had better looking passes throughout OTAs. And even if he didn't, it's fine. Like it's his first time coming back to the field, since the end of the season. But like there are more OTAs next week. There's mandatory camp starting at the end of the month. There's going to be actual training camp in like August. You don't need to post one right away of Lamar Jackson throwing to Sammy Watkins. Like I can't throw a spiral. I've thrown a better spiral. It was hilarious. So I was just like, you were talking about, editing a video together to show your best self on social media. And I'm like, not everyone got that memo.
I'm going to have to go seek that out after this. I've been a little bit off the cusp on social media this week. I'm going to have to, outside of the OBJ Instagram, I will have to go seek that out. But yeah, remember a couple weeks ago, someone released a video of Big Ben throwing at OTAs and it was like his little noodle arm just, and it just like sailed over his receiver. And I think it was a Ravens fan, actually. So like maybe this is karma, like full circle, but I'm pretty sure the Ravens fan took that video and then edited the interception from the Browns playoff game against the Steelers last year, where Ben threw like 50 interceptions. They edited the clip together. And I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I don't often along with Ravens fans.
Yeah, I think that there is a mutual hatred of Pittsburgh, because I will say this. I don't hate the Ravens or Ravens fans the same way Clevelanders do. And I think that's just because, you know, I was a child when the Browns left. You know, yeah. I wasn't, you know, I remember my dad crying, which is like one of two times in my life that I've ever seen my father shed a tear. Like, he was upset about it, but like, I didn't really care because I was, you know, living my best life at the, you know, at the age of 8 or whatever in DC, being, you know, being a Washington fan. You know, so I never really hopped onto that hatred. And like, it's understandable. Like, I don't fault people for their feelings towards Baltimore, but just as a city, Baltimore is such a nicer city than Pittsburgh is. Like, if you ask me tomorrow, like, if you had to spend the rest of your life in either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, like, where would you spend it? I would choose Baltimore 10 times out of 10. So, I mean, it's just, I think that Ravens fans and Browns fans have a little more to come together about, because Pittsburgh fans are just so toxic.
Yeah. I mean, every fan base, I guess, has toxic fans in them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just something about the Steelers. It's like the arrogance as well.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. They're constantly living in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they are the retired football. I've said this a million times. They played football in high school. They were like mediocre at it. They wear their Letterman jacket to the high school reunion like 25 mm-hmm. years later to remind everyone that they played football. And then they attend the football game on Friday nights to watch people that they're not even related to. That is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan in a sense. Yep. And they read the story days constantly. So don't be that fan.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about voluntary workouts, because the Browns have had OTAs happening this week. And just wanted to remind everyone, the key word here, in case you didn't know, is
voluntary. So if we were on Pee-wee's Playhouse, you know, like the secret word, like,
we
every time
give a definition,
we'll have to look up the Merriam-Webster definition of the word voluntary. So I will say this. I don't know if you heard Stefanski's press conference. I did, of course. The amount of times he said the word voluntary, people were making fun of it. But, and I think Aditi also tweeted this, because this was my thoughts while I was going through, and then I saw Aditi vocalize it on Twitter. How on message was he? Like, he did not stray. He did not get distracted. He did not get rattled. Like, he made a few jokes about Myles Garrett and his basketball career. But other than that, like, he was so on message. And I was like, this is so refreshing, you know, as compared to someone like Freddie Kitchens or Hugh Jackson, who would have absolutely gotten rattled and derailed with the types of questions that were coming at him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Freddie Kitchens was just made of like flustered cells his entire coaching season.
And his Alabama-isms that people up here thought were like so funny. And I was like, that's kind of like just what people in the South do. They make up these like weird turns of phrases. Like, that's just like, I didn't notice it because I was so used to it. But I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like, people north of the Mason-Dixon line don't realize that's a thing. But yeah, like, it was so on brand and so on message, and did not waver, did not falter, stayed on the message. And I think it was also his way of hammering that home to not only the media, but everybody else. Because I think one of the reasons why he kept saying voluntary so many times is because the questions, and these are fair questions, because JC Tretter has been the leader of don't show up to voluntary workouts. And, you know, they aren't supposed to be penalized if they don't show up because it's voluntary. So I think that was another message that Kevin Stefanski was trying to hammer home subliminally, like, voluntary, voluntary, voluntary. If they're not here, it's not a big deal, because, you know, we understand the situation. We understand what the contracts say. We understand what the collective bargaining agreement says. Yes. Voluntary. So he wasn't going to say anything that was going to throw anyone under the bus. He was asked about who didn't show up and why. And he just said, you know, that's their business. You know, that's it. So professional, so professional. So we can laugh at the word voluntary all we want, but I think that we should be proud of the way Kevin Stefanski handled everything.
Totally. And by the way, I did look up the definition of voluntary.
what does voluntary mean? I feel like,
okay, it is an adjective.
Okay.
Done, given, or acting of one's own free will. Just FYI, everyone. Does that set in? Does that make it more clear? I actually wish he would have given the definition of voluntary.
Oh, that would have been even funnier.
Just to be a smart ass, which I don't think he's a smart ass. But yeah, I did listen to his press conference and he did make note of voluntary multiple times and he was asked about it a lot. I mean, I understand like the media is trying to get a headline. They're trying to try to figure out like who's being involved, even in the Zoom sessions, you know, like who's showing up. There's a lot of interest there, obviously. I mean, fans are excited, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they want to see the squad get together and assemble. Avengers assemble. That's what it feels like.
We'll get to the Avengers later.
Yes. and I think that someone else asked to, you know, they want names. And they want names of veterans of who was on these Zoom calls. Are you disappointed that your offense didn't show up? All those things. And I wrote this in the rundown, but, you know, does it actually matter? Because there's a lot of reference that I'm seeing chatter-wise just of other fans or even media talking about other teams that we are, you know, being compared to in the league that have their starters and their veterans there. Notably Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes has been there. Baltimore, Lamar has been there. Their starters have been there. I mean, again, we're seeing noodle arm throws. We're seeing flying ducks in the air.
Wobbly spirals.
Yeah. I mean, 40-year-old Ben Roethlisberger is there. He's not 40 yet, almost 40. He looks like he's 40.
Isn't it amazing? And this is just like a completely side note that Ben Roethlisberger is younger than Tom Brady, but he looks older than
Tom
Brady.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's like 57 at least.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady could definitely pass for someone like, you know, 37, 38.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's had a lot of work done, which like teach their own. Yeah. It's fine. But like, this is why you shouldn't care when women get work done. Like, look at Tom Brady.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, he's a walking Botox ad.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Like, just share your secrets, Tom. Maybe like to Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know. Maybe Ben needs some fillers.
Maybe.
Maybe
he needs some like lifts for those wrinkles. I don't know.
I don't know. If there was ever a perfect quarterback for Pittsburgh in terms of looks wise, it's Ben Roethlisberger.
Just like if you say the word Pittsburgh and you close your eyes and picture a person,
it's like Ben Roethlisberger.
You picture it to look like, yes, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, 100%. Like it's like could not have been a more perfect fit. Just like this gaggly, ogre, hairy,
fluffy,
not attractive, like not in shape, but like weirdly athletic. I don't like, it's just like the
athletic fat guy. Okay. The athletic fat guy exists. Like Chris Farley is a great example. Cause like that whole like Chippendale skit that he did for SNL and he like outdanced Patrick Swayze and everyone's like, oh my God, this fat guy. He's like, and he would do all these things. I've seen it. Like I had a guy who played on one of my co-ed softball teams years ago. And he was chubby. He was chubby as hell, but he was the fastest guy on the team. I didn't get it. Like it was crazy, but yes, the athletic fat guy exists. Ben Roethlisberger is the athletic fat guy.
It's just so weird though, because like his legs aren't fat. It's like, I don't know. He has like these,
he skips leg day.
Yes. Imagine looking at him naked. If Brittany was growing up, I'm sorry for giving everyone that vision, but like, I just find
Brittany,
him like,
what
so
are you
unattractive.
Doing?
Ooh, okay.
That's a Britney sound too.
Yeah, just gross. Okay, so getting back to, does it actually matter? You know, when you look at those other teams that are showing up where they have veterans showing up, like, are we the Browns? Are we behind? Does this matter? Obviously, it's voluntary. Coach Stefanski made no comment about this specifically. He just mentioned that he's worried about the Browns. Like, he doesn't care about anything else that's happening right now. So Meredith, I don't know what your thought on this is, but I was thinking about this today, probably more than I should have. And I just went back to the Browns survived an entire season and offseason in COVID without getting together. They survived an entire in-season missing practices, being completely virtual in some cases. They survived missing players, you know, 2 days in advance of game day.
Losing an entire position group.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, I'm like, okay, does this random week in June, is that really going to make a difference in September and October? Or did they go through enough last year where we feel confident enough as fans in this coaching staff and the organization and then the players to be able to figure it all out when it's mandatory and they're supposed to be there? Like, I have full faith that this isn't going to set them behind.
No, because we saw last year, I mean, the entire league was virtual. And I would say, you know, if you were to show a person, you know, clips, highlights from the 2020 season and compare it to, say, the 2015 season, the product is the same. Like, there was no drop in production on the field in 2020, which was incredible. Every game got played, everyone managed, like, you know, there was, you know, there were a few issues with injuries and COVID, but I mean, JC Treader even pointed out that like the amount of soft tissue injuries went down in 2020. So even though the Chiefs and the Ravens and other AFC teams are showing up, I'm not worried about the Browns just because they were able to have a brand new head coach, a brand new general manager, brand new offensive scheme, new entire front office, different offensive weapons, you know, because they spent so much money and so much time bringing in different offensive weapons, whether it was on the line or for Baker. They just, everything was so different for the Browns. So I just don't think that, you know, 3 or 4 days in June is really going to make that much of a difference. Everyone will show up for mandatory camp. I have no doubt in my mind. But also, like, it's not like they're sitting at home,
you know, doing things,
watching Netflix and, you know, eating popcorn. Like, they're working out. They're keeping themselves up. Like, they know that they've got to get in shape. I mean, last year, Baker came in looking like a completely different person.
Yeah, he also posted a hype video. I don't know. It must be the week of hype videos.
It's got to be. But yeah, like, you know, Baker was getting a little criticized for, you know, for his weight, for his athleticism in 2019. And without having access to the facilities in Berea for an entire offseason, he came back looking trim and playing incredible. So would it be nice if they're there? Sure. Like, it would be great to have people there, you know, throwing each other balls and running drills in their shorts, whatever. But I don't think that, you know, 6 days, because we've got what, 3 days this week of practice, 3 days next week of practice before mandatory camp starts. I don't think 6 days in June is going to make or break this team.
Yeah. I mean, are we gonna, after, if we lose a game next year, if we are suffering a loss in, I don't know, October, are we really going to go back and be like, well, if they would have been at that OTA on June 2nd, 2021, wouldn't have lost this game? That's my deal.
And also, if you think about it, like, if the front office really thought that voluntary OTAs made that much of a difference, they would fight for them to not be voluntary. Like, I'm convinced. Like, I think that both the NFL, the owners, the coaching staff would probably go to the owners and say, hey, listen, we, in this next collective bargaining agreement, we want these dates to be mandatory because we think it's going to vastly improve our product on the field. If the coaches really thought that voluntary camp was that important, it wouldn't be voluntary.
Yeah, I agree. I also, too, don't believe that what the Browns experienced last year in terms of success wasn't lightning in a bottle. I think given all the circumstances that it was them. They were prepared. They were consistent. They were able to string multiple wins together. I don't think that it was just luck. You know, like, I think if it would have been luck that got them that far, I don't think they could have won all the games that they won, truly. So I also agree. Wouldn't say that last year was, you know, it just happened to be like no one was prepared because of COVID. It was a COVID season. Like, I think the Browns actually could have been way worse than they were, obviously.
So Warren Sharp tweeted yesterday a stat that had the most expensive offenses in 2021. And the Cleveland Browns ranked as number one. They had the most, they are paying out the most money. So it's $141 million. They have the most expensive offense in the NFL. And I think that is significant because last year, that's what Andrew Berry was working on. Like, yep, that's what he was concentrating on was that offense, an offensive line for Baker, making sure that his weapons, you know, the running backs, the wide receivers, the like he went out and got tight ends and, you know, other position players. So, I mean, Andrew Berry spent, and I think it showed last year. And I think that this is a really interesting breakdown from Warren Sharp when he was talking about the most expensive offenses, because it was like Andrew Berry saw the need and he went out and fixed it. And then mm-hmm. this offseason, he knew the need was defense.
Yep.
He went out and he spent and he traded and he did what he needed to do and he fixed it. So I agree with you. I think all of these things are just showing that it's not, you know, lightning in a bottle. Like if the Browns offense wasn't that good, you know, Andrew Berry wouldn't be spending $141 million on it.
Yeah. It's having a plan and executing to it. Imagine that.
Yes.
Imagine that. Well, speaking of the defense, because you brought it up and the mm-hmm. amount of spend and the amount of work that has went into this offseason, that is mostly the players that showed up at the OTAs this week. Some of the notable players that we will talk about, Myles Garrett was there, Denzel Ward. It was really great to see Greedy and Delpit mm-hmm. there and on the field and participating. And then from a newbie standpoint, because we have a lot of them, there's a lot of new faces in the defense. And I think this is the biggest question mark as we head into the 2021 season. Anthony Walker, Malik Jackson, JOK, Tommy Togiai, Richard LeCount, James Hudson. I mean, James Hudson, offensive lineman, but
yeah.
Still a new face nonetheless. Was there anyone, Meredith, that you were excited to see and anyone that maybe you wished was there, even though it's voluntary, just you personally?
So for me personally, I was really glad to see Grant Delpit because last year he was the yeah. draft pick that I was most excited about. Like we can go back to our shows that we did after the draft last year. I was over the moon for Grant Delpit. So when he had a season ending injury, it was like a little piece of my heart was torn out. So I was very happy to see Grant Delpit there because I think if he lives up to the potential that Andrew Berry saw in him last year, he's going to be unstoppable. So I'm very excited. I would have loved to have seen John Johnson III there just because I am a huge stan of John, but you know, he's a veteran and he knows his way around the field and, you know, it's not like, and he's been in the league for a while. So it's not like he's unfamiliar with people like Myles or Denzel. So, you know, I can understand why a veteran of his stature wouldn't be there, especially when it's voluntary. I would have just liked to have seen him there just for the pure fact that I'm a huge stan. Like that's it.
Yeah. I think the one guy I wanted to see that I was surprised that I didn't see his name pop up was Tech McKinley.
Oh yeah. Cause he was the one who had kind of some of the off the field troubles and showed up to his introductory press conference in a suit. And
yeah.
tie.
Like you're going to show up in a suit and talk about how you're all business. And then like, I get it. It's voluntary. But I just feel like there are some guys that have a lot to prove, that aren't necessarily guaranteed to make this team. And, you know, their future is reliant on what happens this season. So, again, like I saw his image a few weeks ago too, working out. He also looks like a monster. Him, Myles, and Jadeveon are looking like beasts. So, the league should be on notice and should be terrified looking at those three men specifically. So yeah, it would have been nice to see him there, especially with Myles being there as well. You know, you have that veteran yeah. presence, and just like being able to spend some time with him as well.
Although with Tack, I have no doubt in my mind that he's fully aware of
yeah.
how short his leash is, you know, mm-hmm. how thin yeah. the ice is that he's on. So I'm sure he's fully aware of that. So he knows that one misstep or, you know, if he's not putting the production on the field that's expected of him, I have no doubt that Andrew Berry has no qualms about cutting him because yeah. it was a risk to sign him in the yep. first place. And, you know, it's a very calculated risk on Andrew Berry's part. And I'm sure he knows how thin his ice is. So, you know, even though he wasn't there, I think I'll be okay. I have so much confidence in this team. I'm like, and I hate to get too hyped up because I feel like I got kind of this hype like prior to the Freddie Kitchen season.
Yeah. But,
like,
yeah.
Same. I'm afraid to, but then like the more we talk about it, the more excited I get.
I know. Same.
Like, I don't want summer to be over because I prefer warm weather, but I'm also just like, can we get to the games?
I know. I'm like really torn. I don't want to wish away summer.
Yes.
I really don't. Like, I want to enjoy summer. Like, last summer didn't feel normal by any means. Like, the entire year didn't feel normal, but
I know. I was like, going to the park in a mask and like working out on stairs at the park.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to actually have a summer, a nice, like normal summer. Vacations should hopefully happen if you have them planned. And I'm looking forward to all of that. But I think about it, like, we're already in June. Like, June's going to fly by. July's going to get here. Training camp's going to happen. And then, like, we're literally going to be in the season. It's going to be here so fast. And there's going to be a full stadium. So, like, we have that to look forward to as well, which is so amazing.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Browns want to do their best to get people into training camp as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I will say about the Browns training camp that I think is so cool is the fact that it is free for fans. It has always been free for fans. And I think it's going to continue to be free. And in 2019, they increased the seating capacity.
Yeah.
So more people. Wild. Yeah. So more people could show up. And I absolutely love that about the Browns, because other teams aren't like that. Like, when I was covering the Titans, the fans that showed up, like, there were a few that were let inside, but most people were like standing outside the gates and like trying to watch through chain link fences. And it's like, man, if you really want to get your, you know, I don't want to hear complaints from, you know, from Titans people that a stadium on Sunday is 2/3 Green Bay fans when you don't even allow your fans into training camp. Mm-hmm. So I love that the Browns do that. And it's not just letting people in. They make it an event.
Yeah.
Because they've got the dog pound where you can adopt a puppy. They've got different physical activities you can do. Like, you can run the 40, you can do different, you know, strength and conditioning challenges. You can see the game. There's booze, there's food. Like, it's an event for the whole family. And if you're not able to afford to go to a game, it's a great alternative because you get to see the players much closer than you would at an actual game. And it's, you know, it's affordable because you don't have to buy merchandise or food or drink when you go there. You don't have to. And so, like, if you want to, it could be a completely free day. So I absolutely love that the Browns do that. And I truly hope that they do allow full capacity for training camp.
You have a lot of good points too. Plus, I feel like we were robbed last year. Just, I know that they did a really good job of like keeping fans engaged and connected through social media. Like, they were recording training camps. You could watch it live. But like, still to see it in person, especially after like such a disappointing 2019 season, you know, the training camp experience is a really great way to see too how the coaching staff runs their practices, competitions amongst players, how they're coaching up the different position groups. It's just like really, it's really fun. And like you said, like, it's just so different than a game because there's just so many things that they're focusing on, and you can watch like all these different things happening, kind of roam around, see the different player and position groups that are happening. Sometimes it's running backs working in one area. You've got the kickers and the punters working in an area, quarterbacks throwing. I mean, it is like a really cool experience just as a like football fan.
Yeah. And I think the Browns are one of the best in the leagues for putting on a fan experience for training camp, which is just one of the, I was like shocked the very first training camp I went to, and just like the amount of people that were there, I was like, my jaw was on the floor. Even, and this was after 1-15. So, cause I, my inaugural season was 0-16. So that year when I showed up to training camp, packed house. The following year, they went 1-30, you know, 1-31, still packed house. Like, it was just, it's so special. Like, I will probably be doing my best to get out to as much training camp as I possibly can, you know, depending on what time they have it. Like, if they have, you know, 10 a.m. practices, you know, obviously I can't, cause I'm going to be, you know, in studio at that point. But yeah, like, if there are practices that are outside my working hours, like, I am going to be there. I'm so excited.
Yes, agreed. Well, to wrap up the Browns discussion, so we obviously have additional OTAs happening next week. Again, voluntary still, but we'll see.
Are they voluntary? Do we need a reminder of what voluntary means?
Voluntary. Free adjective. Will. So we will see if anyone else happens to show up next week. I'm sure Stefanski will get questioned again all next week about the same thing. And then mandatory minicamp is June 15th through the 17th. So we are 2 weeks away from the mandatory sessions. And I've already seen there are reports that OBJ is expected to attend. That is like the one guy who I feel like always is like watched with these like eagle eyes. Like, is he there? Yeah. Is he participating? Is he on the sidelines? Like, he's always like, in my opinion, been unfairly criticized.
Absolutely. Because there are plenty of people who, you know, who don't show up to minicamp even before this season. Yeah. I mean, currently Aaron Rodgers is in Hawaii with I don't know, but like, yeah, the Packers have OTAs and he's in Hawaii with his weird fiance. So like, if you look up some of the stuff that Shailene Woodley has, so I love her as an actress. I thought she was great in Divergent. And then there's like another movie or TV show that she was in that I really enjoyed. So I really, really enjoy her work. But like, as a person, she said some really like out there things. Like, she was saying that she eats clay to detox herself. That's, I don't know. It's like weird stuff.
Was she the actress that, I swear I heard her on a SiriusXM interview driving home one day where, and I could be thinking of someone completely different, but I swear it was her. Was she the one that like doesn't flush the toilet? She probably like lets it all like sit there.
I think so. That sounds familiar. Cause I've looked up some of the weird stuff she said. Yeah, she is. Yeah. She like eats clay. She doesn't shower. Like, I don't know. I don't know. For someone as rich as she is, you can afford a salad.
Yeah, or like a juice detox that like normal people do. I mean, juice detoxes are not fun either.
Like, girl, you're rich. You can afford real food. Like, some of us are over here eating ramen, wishing that we could afford what you can afford. So, but yeah, that's the only reason why I call her weird. Like, as an actress, I absolutely love her. As a person, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going down that path.
But like, Aaron Rodgers isn't getting criticized anywhere near the way OBJ would get criticized when he doesn't show up to OTA. So, and there are other players that don't show up to OTAs, you know, prior to this year, when it was mostly expected. And yeah, everyone is getting on OBJ's case about it. Like, why is he the only one who's been given a hard time in the past for not showing up to voluntary workouts? Keep posting Instagrams, OBJ.
That's right. That's right. Post another hype video. All right. Should we move into the Indians, the team to be named?
The Cleveland Clouds.
I'm still like really loving that. I hope that was one of the 1,198 options.
How could it not be?
Are there Cleveland Clouds?
Almost 1,200 different names that they claim. Like, I didn't even know that many like mascots existed. Because how many, there are so many repeat mascots in like the sports and just even in the academic world. When you go to, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, like there are tons of schools that are the Eagles or the Owls or Badger. Like, there's so many. So many. How could you? Like, I didn't even think that 1,200 mascots existed. Like, that's just.
Yeah. So in case you guys listening have not seen this yet, our girl Cammie Justice actually put out an article today, which, by the way, happy belated birthday, Cammie. She celebrated her birthday. Happy belated birthday. Yes,
June 2nd was her birthday.
Yep. So she put out an article today about the Indians naming situation. And in the article, what was discussed is the Indians have been researching and holding discussions over the last few months to contemplate the new name. Groups included influencers. I'm not on this list, mind you.
So I was not on this list either.
Influencers are.
I definitely am not on the influencer category because whenever someone asks, like, hey, can we send you something? Or, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? I'm never asked. So clearly I'm not an influencer.
Invite Meredith on your podcast. She will say yes. She will say yes. The other people in this group were young professionals, civic leaders, season ticket holders, teens and families. Important factors that are going into the decision: connection to the city, preservation of history, and uniting the community. Those are all like very heavy requirements, in my opinion. Like, that is
also like, I understand that preserving history is important, but like, as we've seen with Confederate statues in the South.
Yes, not so important.
Like how, like do you, like how much do you really want to preserve of the past?
Yes.
Like, I mean, I understand wanting to represent the city, but it's just like, it's such a, like the criteria is so vague and specific at the same time. I was very annoyed by this announcement today because it didn't say anything. Like I kind of wish they had gone the same path as the Washington football team where they came out and said, you know what? We heard you. We're going to change the name. And then within a few months, they're like, well, we don't have the legal rights. We don't have all of the red tape worked out that we need in order to change our name and to rebrand ourselves. So right now we're just going to be the Washington football team. And we're going to stay the Washington football team until we land on a new mascot. And at this point, like I have this opinion. I know a lot of my friends back home have this opinion. Some of my colleagues in the media back home have had the same opinion of it works. Washington football team is fine. Like we like the logo. The name doesn't bother us. I wish the tribe had gone that route where they were just going to say, hey, we heard you. We're going to change our name. And then a few months later, either come out with the new name or just be like, you know what? Until then, we're going to be Cleveland Bay. Like, just don't make an announcement until you actually do something.
Do you want to know what this is, though? Because like I just listed out like all the things that they are going through in order to come up with the new name, which we also mentioned, but like 1,198 options have been considered.
Also, I want to know all of them.
Yeah,
I want to know all 1,198 options that were on that list.
Also, 100 hours were spent brainstorming. 1,000 names have been put through 14 rounds of vetting. A list of finalists has not been released yet, but they continue to work on narrowing this down. So yeah, Meredith, what you said is true. They literally like announced this without actually announcing anything. And do you want to know why I think they're doing this? Because I think they're saying that they're doing all of this work, all this research. They have all of these different groups and people involved because they know regardless of what name they pick, people will not be happy. There will be a subset of people not happy with it. Plus, you also have to think about the logo that's going to go along with whatever name that they come up with. And people are very passionate about logos and names in general. So I think they're going to like essentially come back to be like, they want to prepare people that this is happening and also know that like they're putting a lot of work into this.
How funny would it be?
I feel like this could all just backfire though, because if it's like a really horrible name and a really horrible logo, people are going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you spent this amount of time and this is what you came up with.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like, that was exactly the point that I was about to make. How funny would it be if after, you know, combing through almost 1,200 names and spending 100 hours in the shower, coming up with shower thoughts, you know, and asking influencers and teenagers, what if the name was just Cleveland Baseball Club? Like, yeah, all that.
Well, you know, I'm sure you saw this because you're a soccer fan, but the Columbus Crew like went through a rebrand with their logo and they got so much backlash on like the redoing of the C, right? It was like the C and the
So they were originally going to change the name. This is what the rebrand was for about a week before they changed it back. It was Columbus Crew SC. They were supposedly dropping the Crew and it was just Columbus SC. So yes. Columbus Soccer Club, which is pretty standard for American soccer teams, forgot people don't like soccer being called football over here, but like
is it FC or is it SC? Is it FC?
It's SC as in soccer club. But if you go to like Europe, it's going to be FC football club. So it's pretty standard. But people were very upset. And I think the team even said that they would still use the Crew as a nickname. So in my mind, it was kind of similar to like the Indians and the Tribe. Like the Tribe isn't an official name, but it's a nickname.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of the angle they were going for. But they also, I think the biggest annoyance is that they rebranded the logo. So it went from like that circle logo with like the Ohio flag outline.
People were very upset about the C.
Yeah.
Like,
so
it was
now
C that like the crest and the C that like, what is this C? I spent like 20 minutes reading the Facebook comments of people complaining about the C.
Oh my God, don't read the comments.
No, I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah. So I don't think they actually changed the logo back. Like I still like it's like a little banner with a C in it. And I think as far as I know, they're still using that. And people are just not happy about it. They were so upset. It was such an uproar. And it's interesting that the uproar was so great, but I think also, and I need to do a little more research on it, because I remember seeing the story, but I didn't pay too much attention to it, because just name change conversations, like in general, like they bore me so much. But I think the way they went about it was also what made people upset, because there was no indication that they wanted to change their name. There was no plan. I guess they had a meeting with shareholders, and I think the shareholders were against it, but they did it anyway. So there was just there were a lot of missteps in the process of going from Columbus Crew to Columbus SC. So yeah, people were really upset. I'm not sure if there's going to be quite the uproar with Cleveland's baseball team, just because people know it's coming, because they keep putting out announcements. But I, at this point, like,
announcements about nothing.
Clouds were not one of the 1,198 suggestions. Have you ever seen The Good Place?
No.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
The whole series is on Netflix. It's a very quick watch. There's like four seasons. They're 20 minute episodes, whatever. It's a very quick watch. It's very bingeable. But like there were like moments in the show where that kind of like reminded me of like, okay, well, we went through 1 million, blah, 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 so many possibilities of, you know, these situations, and, you know, time is, you know, moving in this direction. Like, it's kind of like that thing. Like, that's sort of what it felt like to me. It's like, it was like the people of The Good Place putting out this, like, okay, well, we went through like 8 million scenarios, and this is what we found was going to be the happiest in heaven or something like that. Like, it's just, I don't know. And they're going to be the Cleveland Baseball Club.
Yeah. Or like the Guardians. I really don't like the Guardians, but I feel like that's what's going to happen.
And Avengers was on that list. I mean,
I'm fine with Avengers. That just feels like aggressive though. Like, we are not a team that has Avengers on it. We are a team of like nameless great faces.
Well, and like Disney is so protective of their intellectual property. Like, there are, I have seen people on like TikTok who have like 200 followers who might post something either making fun of Disney or using Disney, you know, copyrighted materials. And they will, like, you know, someone in like Missoula, Montana with 200 followers will get a cease and desist letter from Disney for their Disney content that they have on their social media. Like, they are insane about it. So I don't think that the Avengers would even be a possibility because of its ties with Marvel and Disney.
If the Dolans choose Avengers as their name, they better freaking increase their payroll. Okay. So like, you better be very careful about the name that you choose, because I feel like it has to fit the mold of the team that you have created. And Avengers right now just doesn't fit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. But if it is the Avengers, then Tom Holland has to be the mascot because he's already a Browns fan.
True. Spider-Man.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Tom Holland is Spider-Man. And yeah, he's British too, which is even funnier.
Yeah, because when he was recording the movie, wasn't he in Cleveland? And then the Browns were bad too. I'm like, wow, like, what a time for you to be a Browns fan.
Yeah, I want to say it was like Civil War or something was one of the movies that was filmed partially in Cleveland. So he came here and was like, hey, this place is cool. I think I'm going to cheer for the football team here.
It could have been when Baker Mayfield was a rookie, right? Would that have made sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So then maybe it wasn't Civil War. I don't know. I just know that there was an Avengers movie that had like that filmed, like parts of it filmed in Cleveland. So yeah. Like, let's have Tom Holland. What if we're the Cleveland Tom Hollands? There you go. That's your new.
Well, I could also go with if we're the Cleveland Spiders. So it could all fit together. He could be a mascot for multiple things. But I will say, this all just feels like, in conclusion, a way to summarize all this up in a pretty little package is this could have been an email. Is what I feel like is going to come out of this entire Cleveland baseball team.
Yes.
So
exactly. And the best take I heard about coming up with new names, and this was, you know, it was, if you have to explain the name, it's not a good name.
It's not a good name. Agreed. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because like with the Cleveland Browns, it's like Jim Brown. Okay, cool. Like, you know, it makes sense. You know, like the Baltimore Ravens, Edgar Allan Poe. Okay, makes sense. Let's go. Like, you know, there's not like they're like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steel City. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like these are great team names because you don't have to explain them. You understand them. They make sense in the context of the city. Like, so don't come at me with these like off the wall, like, okay, well, they should be the Cleveland, I don't know, random animal because the metro parks that are connected to the national park is one of the 30 places in the country that are home to this specific animal. So that's why we're going to go with it. Like, yeah, no, no.
What? The Cleveland cicadas. Done.
Oh,
I'm a fan of alliteration. So give me, yeah, I don't know. Speaking of cicadas, I haven't watched the news lately, but I happened to tune in tonight and apparently people are eating cicadas and the FDA is urging against it. I'm like, who's eating cicadas? Are we that desperate?
Oh, okay. So the brood X, which is like the swarming cicadas. So my parents live in that area. Like they're in Washington, D.C., which is like, you know, one of the hotbeds for this breed of cicada. I was on the phone with them the other day and it was a nice day. So they had the windows open. I could not hear them over the cicadas. And it's crazy because I was in high school the last time these cicadas came out. So I remember people would like pull fire alarms on purpose so they could like capture the cicadas when we went outside and then release them in the classroom just to cause, you know, a commotion. I remembered they were loud. I don't ever remember them being that loud. And my dad was like, yeah, it's not as bad as last time. He was like, and he was even, telling me today, he's like, yeah, I went out and there were only like 30 of them on my car. They're not that bad this time around.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Do you want to hear a really disgusting cicada story?
I don't know. Do I?
When I was in high school, and this is, my dad is a saint for putting up with me for my entire life. So like I said, I was in high school when 17 years ago, when the last, you know, effort of yep. brood X cicadas came out, and my car was fairly new. And in order to protect it, my dad bought me a car cover to put over, you know, to protect it from, you know, sun, weather, all that other stuff. The cicadas loved this car cover. So when I would leave for school at 6 o'clock in the morning, because we had impossibly early classes, there would be like dozens of cicadas like all over this car cover. Oh. And I would have to go and I have to pick them off like one at a time when I would leave in the morning. And then there was
so gross.
And then like, they're harmless. Like they're nothing. Like I had no problem touching cicadas. They didn't bother me. But like there was one morning I was running late and there were just so many on my car and I was so exhausted. And I was just like, F it. I took the entire car cover because I would take it off and put it in my trunk. I didn't bother cleaning off the cicadas. And I threw it in my trunk with all the cicadas in there. And then my dad was the one who wound up having to clean it up.
Clean them all out. Ew.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. So, I mean, like, they're everywhere. I remember my French teacher got into a car accident because she had her windows open and a cicada came in and like landed on her. Yeah. And she got so freaked out that she took her foot off the brake at a red light and rear-ended the person in front of her. And I looked at her and I was like, I remember thinking like, you are mad. I was like, it's a harmless bug. There's like nothing. I don't know. They're big too. They're like,
an inch. They are.
I don't know. I guess like it didn't like, they didn't really bother me. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought the sound was kind of cool, but like, it's been so long that when I was on the phone with my parents the other day, I was just like, I couldn't hear them. The cicadas were so loud. And it was funny because they came and visited a few weeks ago. And my mom was like, you don't have cicadas, do you? I was like, no, we don't have cicadas up here. And she's like, good. But I live by the lake and we have midges. So I'm sorry, yeah. Mom.
Pick your poison. Yeah, so they could be the Cleveland midges.
There you go. Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably on the list.
It had to have been. There you have it.
Still in the running, possibly.
I would rather talk about cicadas than talk about possible.
All right.
Just because I don't think it really matters. I think people are putting way too much weight. I've said this before on our podcast and I've said it. I will continue to say it. Getting rid of Chief Wahoo does not ruin your childhood. Changing the name of the team does not ruin your childhood. Because if you have memories with friends, family, going, you know, seeing the 90s Indians and seeing them win and going through everything that we've gone to, if you were, you know, at game 7 in 2016, those memories are still there. You're not in Men in Black getting flashy thinged to erase those memories. So I think people are too concerned with what the name is. I think just take a deep breath, sit back and be like, you know what? If you are a baseball fan, you're not going to stop cheering for them if they become the Cleveland Cicadas.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Meredith, that wraps us up for this evening. Thank you all for joining in. Those that were with us live, thank you for tuning in. For those that are listening to us on your listening platform, thank you for downloading us and subscribing. If you could send us a rate and review on whatever your listening platform is, we love to hear from you. Shoot us a tweet. Hopefully we will have Brittany back next week. We definitely missed her this evening. And as always, don't forget to check out our wonderful sponsor for this week's episode, Play Adventure Parks, both in Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio. And mark your calendars, June 27th. We will be hosting an event there. So if you guys want to make a visit out there, we will plan to see you there. Thank you guys, as always, and we will talk to you next week.
This episode brought to you by Play Adventure Parks with locations in Cleveland and Columbus. If you're interested in sponsoring That's What Bea Said, please email us at girlgangclee@gmail.com.